please. Well, as the year comes to an end, our study on the books of the Bible is coming to an end also. Just a few more books left now. And believe it or not, we will know the whole Bible. At least the theme and the outlines of the books. It's been a good study. I've enjoyed it. Very informative as we get a little background of each of the books anyway. We'll look at 2 John now. And let me read a few verses, beginning with verse 1. It says, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it." And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask once again that you'll bless now this Bible study this morning. We pray that you'll give us understanding on this book, 2 John, and that we may apply it to our own lives, that we may have wisdom in how to walk and how to live and how to raise our families in this day. Bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The little book of 2 John, only 13 verses there, but very informative and packed full of good practical things for every Christian. Look in Acts chapter 20, verse 25, if you would. Acts chapter 20. And look in verse 25. This is Paul now talking to those in Ephesus, or the elder, the preachers of Ephesus, as he's leaving now. And it says in verse 25, "And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." By the way, that's important for the preacher, that he preach all the counsel of God. Notice that he says that I am pure from the blood of all men. He gets that from the book of Ezekiel, where it says, if a man does not warn a wicked of his wicked way, then his blood will be upon his hands. Also, if a man does not warn the righteous of their wicked way, then even their blood is upon his hand. So looking down in verse 27, or verse 28 says, "Now take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." He's talking about the church here now, the pastors over the church, "to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." So here's Paul's warning to the preachers there. He says, when I leave here, watch out, because there are going to be grievous wolves. They're going to come in, deceivers from the outside that will come into the church and deceive those within the church and draw them away from the church. Then also look in verse 29, or verse 30. "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." And so he says there will also be those within the church that will deceive others in the church and draw them away from the truth also. So there's two attacks in upon the church. Those attacks of error, grievous wolves coming in from outside and taking some folks from in there with the truth and drawing them away from the truth. It's amazing, isn't it, when you have a place that has the truth, how hard it is to get people just to take the truth. It is so easy for people to accept error over truth. It is hard to find people that'll just stay with the truth. It's amazing, isn't it? If you have the truth here and you have error here, you know where most of the people are going to go? They're going to go to error. Most people will take error rather than truth, because truth hurts sometimes, and truth is painful sometimes, and people will accept error rather than truth. Now that's what he's saying here. Now there's going to be some that'll come from outside and try to draw you away onto error, but then there will be some inside you that will adopt error and draw some people to themselves around this error within the church also. So there's an attack upon the church of God of error. The devil wants to destroy Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches. The devil does not want us to have the truth. If he can get us to believe a lie, he'll get us to believe a lie. He doesn't want us to have the truth. Once you're saved, you've got the truth of salvation, but he can keep you from having the truth of how to get God's blessings or what God's purpose in your life is. He can keep you from living in the will of God for your life. and he'll use deception. So we've seen, matter of fact, look over in 2 Peter chapter 4. We've seen many warnings now about error. Just about most of the epistles we've seen have at least something in there to warn us about error. Because here's truth, and here's error. Now the good thing is this, God says, my truth endureth to all generations. So anybody that wants the truth in 1989 can have the truth, because God's truth is still here. If we choose the truth, we can have the truth. It'll be here next year. I don't care how bad this world gets, God's truth will always be around. There will always be His truth, because His truth endureth to all generations. Nobody has to go without the truth. Nobody ever, since the time of Adam and Eve, ever have to go without the truth of God. Nobody has to. We choose to. If we don't want the truth, we choose to miss the truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, look in verse 1, it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Now here's Paul is warning Timothy now, a pastor. He's saying, now you preach the truth, because there's a day coming when there will be people that'll turn away from the truth. Isn't that amazing? Why would somebody want to turn from the truth? If you've got the truth and you've got error, why would anybody not want to have the truth? Now, I don't know. I guess to me it doesn't make sense. I want the truth. I want to live in the truth. And I want the truth preached to me. That's what I want. But there are many that don't want the truth. They would rather heap to themselves teachers having itching ears and turn from the truth to fables, the Bible says. And it says there will come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. By the way, this may be the time. This could be it. I'll tell you, even in the ranks of fundamentalism today, there are many that don't have the truth. They've turned from the truth. They've turned to fables. I didn't say they turned from the Bible. They've just twisted the Bible. They've turned from the truth of the Bible. Then look over in 2 Peter chapter 2. I mean, every religion, that's any religion at all, uses the Bible. Don't use the truth of the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. It says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. They said even the truth will be even spoken of. You've seen it before. You've seen people take the truth and talk bad about the truth. Isn't that amazing? They'll see the truth, and they'll talk bad about the truth. They'll talk bad about preaching. They'll talk bad about soul winning. They'll talk bad about separation. They'll talk bad about the truth. Now we have the truth. It's found in the Word of God. And anybody that wants to know the truth can know the truth today. In 1989, we can know the truth because the truth endureth to all generations. But here's Satan's attack is upon the church. He attacks the church. And many of the epistles we've read so far are to the church or to individual churches saying, stay in the truth. Now look back in 2 John again. Look in verse 1. It says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children. Now we have an epistle written to a mother and her children. That's something? So we've had many that were written to the church or to individual churches saying, watch out for error in the church. Watch out for lies and damnable heresies within the church. Now we have a letter written to a mother and her children. And we'll find out the same warning is given here in 2 John. Same warning. Watch out for false teachers. You know why? Because as the home goes, so goes the church. And so goes the country. Not only is Satan trying to attack the Bible-believing churches and trying to bring damnable heresies within the churches, but Satan is trying to bring heresy and error into the home. If Satan can get error into the home, he can ruin the church, because the church is made up of the homes. That's what God made, first of all, the home.
God instituted the home. God has also instituted the church. But God wants truth in the home just as much He wants truth in the church. When you get people with error in the home, then you've got problems. You know what one of Satan's greatest attacks today is? To destroy the family. That's what he wants to destroy. He knows if he can destroy the family, he can destroy the church. And he's doing a pretty good job of it today. He's taken moms out of the home. He's taking God out of the education of the children. And he's destroying the homes today. And our homes are in a mess. Isn't it good that Peter now writes a letter to the home? Says, here's how to keep error out of the home. Here, Mom, here's what you need to do to raise your children so your children will grow up right and so they'll be right. And if we take these little things that are written to the elect lady and to her children and put them in our homes, then we too can keep the error out of our homes. First of all, realize this. Satan not only attacks the church with error, but he attacks the home also. Look in Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse 10. It says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Bible says here there are those that teach whole houses. You know what they're trying to do? Get into the home. Trying to destroy the family, even back here during the day of Titus. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 6 says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know what they're doing? Trying to get into the home. They're attacking the home through the wife. That's what it's saying right here. They're going in and attacking the home through the wife, through the mother of the home. By the way, that's the easiest place to attack the home. Because if the wife does not stay under the protection of her husband, she is going to get in error. It happened to Eve. I mean, that was the most perfect woman that ever lived. Bless God, she got off when she didn't talk to her husband about eating that fruit. She got off. And that's where the devil will attack the home. So it goes in and gets the wife who's not under the protection of her husband. Why? By the way, you take the women out of the charismatic movement, you wouldn't have a charismatic movement. You know that? You take the women out of most of the religions today that are not of the truth. You find a Bible-believing church. You know what you'll find? You'll find men in a Bible-believing church. Now, you go to every other kind of church, man, the women run everything. Bless God, you go to a church where they don't have the Bible, and those women will run everything. You look at the charismatic movement today. Bless my soul. You take the women out of that charismatic movement, you wouldn't have much left. You get some fella up there, gets those women all riled up, and you know, they got themselves a religion. I'm not here to get these women riled up. I'm here to get the men riled up. That's what I'm here for. Well, this guy get the men riled up, the women will be right. And what we need to do is and that's what they'll do. They'll attack the home. And that's where Satan wants to attack. He'll destroy the home and lead women, silly women, out of the home. The Bible's saying there. And what are you doing? You're destroying the home. When you take the mother out of the home, you're going to destroy the home. Well, let's look back in 2 John again then. All that just in the first phrase of 2 John. It says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. There it is again. The truth will be with us forever. Anybody that wants to know the truth can know the truth. Because the truth is here. It's our choice. We'll either learn the truth or we'll learn error. Error will always be here too. As long as the devil's around, there'll always be error. But the truth will be here forever. So this second epistle of John is addressed to a Christian mother and her children and tells how to keep Satan from destroying the family. Here's two key words. Actually, there's three key words here, but we'll get to the third one later. But two key words I want you to notice right now. Just in those first four verses, in verse 1 it says, whom I love in the truth. not only, but also they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake. Verse 3, the Son of the Father in truth and love. Verse 4, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. Five times in those first four verses you find the word truth. And that's one of the key words there. Excuse me. Key word, truth. And look in verse 9. It says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Here's a second key word, the word doctrine. Isn't it amazing? And in a little letter, written to a mother and her children, five times, in the first four verses, you find the word truth. And also, in two verses, you find the word doctrine. Isn't that amazing? You know what that gives you the idea? We ought to teach truth and doctrine in our home. I'll give you another key word. You won't have to write it down, yeah, because we'll get to it later. But look in verse 4. It says, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Verse 5, I wrote a new not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee. Verse 6, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment. Four times just in those three verses you find the word commandment. Find truth, commandments, and doctrine in a little letter written to a mother. That shows you how important it is to have in the home truth and doctrine. Matter of fact, look back in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, it's the responsibility of the church to teach truth and doctrine. But it's the responsibility of the home to teach truth and doctrine. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Now, so that's talking about moms and dads. As a matter of fact, it's talking about grandmas and grandpas, sons and daughters, and grandchildren. That's what it's talking about right there. And it says, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, they may increase mightily as the Lord God of the fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. So he's saying, now all these things that I've commanded you should be in your heart. And then look in verse 7. And thou shalt teach them. Who's that to? Is that to the school teacher? No. Is that to the preacher? No. Is that to the Sunday school teacher? No. That's to mom and dad. You know whose responsibility is that the child learns truth and doctrine? It's not the church's responsibility. The church is to preach truth, but the responsibility of whether the children learn truth or not is mom and dad. You know whose responsibility is that the child learn truth? Not the Sunday school teacher. The Sunday school teacher has a responsibility to teach truth, but the responsibility of whether the children learn truth is mom and dad. That's their responsibility. Look in verse 7, it says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You know what that's saying? From the time that child gets up in the morning to the time that child goes to bed at night, they ought to be taught the truth. Teach them truth. That's mom and dad's responsibility. You know what that means? You know what my responsibility is? My responsibility is to teach my children. That's my responsibility. Therefore, part of my responsibility is finding a good place. If I want my children taught math, I should find a good place where they can be taught math, or I better teach them myself. If I want them to be taught history, I better find a place that's going to teach history like I would teach it. That's my responsibility. Because when I stand before God, I'm going to stand before God for where my kids went to school. I'll stand before God for what my kids have been taught in school. I'll stand before God because it's my responsibility. If they're not getting what they ought to be getting, then I better be teaching them. It's my responsibility to teach those children. Now, if I put them in a school, I'm going to put them there, and then I've put my responsibility upon them, and now they're under the authority of their teachers. And if I don't like it, I'll either keep my mouth shut or pull them out of the school, one or the other. I either find a school where I can, where I'm going to be happy with them there and keep my mouth shut, because now I've put them in under another authority. But that's still my responsibility. And if I don't like it, then I'll pull them out of that school. But I'm not going to buck the school while I'm there. I'll either leave them in there with a school where I can train them, or I'll pull them out and train them myself, because it's my responsibility. We like to yell at the teacher and say, "Bless God, how come my son's not learning physics?" Bless God, it's your responsibility. If you want to see your son learning physics, find a place where they'll learn it. It's our responsibility to teach them. And that's what our job is. Mom and dad's responsibility is to teach their children. By the way, the two main things to teach them is to love the Lord and to fear the Lord. You read those verses again. To love the Lord and to fear the Lord. And those are the two main things that he says to teach them. When I was a teacher, I taught business, I taught math, I taught history, I taught biology, and just about everything else I've taught, I think. And when I taught those things, you know what my main responsibility was? Not whether they could dissect a frog or not, but whether they loved God or not. That was my responsibility. And what my main responsibility was? Not whether they knew history, but whether they feared God. And if they feared God, they're going to learn their history. My main responsibility was to teach them to love God as in loco parentis, in place of the parent, to teach them to fear God and to love God. It's a responsibility. And so that's what we are to do. It's the responsibility of the home to teach doctrine. I'll look back in 2 John again. In 2 John, it says in verse 4, "And I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth." The Bible says here, look at verse 1, it says, "that they have known the truth." That's the first thing there. Now I've divided 2 John up into three sections here. And if we'll use these three things right here, then we can learn how to teach our families and how to keep our families straight and keep them from error. Key words are truth and doctrine. It's just as important, to keep error out of the church, it's important to keep error out of the home. And if we had, and to have Christian families, therefore we must have in our homes these things found in 2 John. First of all, 2 John 1, know the truth. Know the truth. Verses 1 through 3. The first thing we need to have in our families is to be taught the truth, or teach our children the truth. If we allow error into the home, we'll end up with error in the church. We need to have truth taught in the home. Responsibilities of mom and dads is to teach truth, that our children know the truth. So that's the first thing. Truth should be taught in the home. To keep error out of the home, there must be knowledge of the truth. Look in John chapter 17. John chapter 17, look in verse 17. You know how we teach truth in the home? Here's how to teach truth to your children. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Teach the Bible in the home. That's truth. If mom and dads are to keep their children and keep their homes from error, they must have as the basis of their truth in their home, all the truth in their home ought to be the Word of God. That's what we need to base upon what we do in our home, based upon the Word of God. Don't base upon what the world's doing today. Don't base it upon Dr. Spock. Don't base it upon the Christian psychologist. Base it upon the Word of God. Find for yourself what God's Word teaches and do it. Do what the Word of God says. We ought to base everything we do upon the Word of God. First of all, know the truth. Now, there's a lot of people that know the truth, and that's why he didn't just stop there by saying, teach the truth to the children. Because a lot of people know the truth. But there's more to knowing the truth. Look in verse 4. It says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. They didn't just know the truth, they walked in the truth. And that's the second thing. If we're to keep our families from error, first of all, we must teach the truth. Or they must know the truth. Secondly, they must walk in the truth. If we're to keep our families from error, have them walk in the truth. It's not enough to have knowledge of the Word of God. We must also obey the Word of God. And that's what it means to walk in the truth. Not just to know the truth, but to walk in the truth. The truth ought to change our lives, ought to be seen in how we walk. How's it done that? Through obedience to the truth. By the way, here's one of the keys to knowing the truth right here. Do you know when I quit walking the truth, I'll quit knowing the truth? Do you know that? Many people that at one time knew the truth, that quit walking the truth, no longer know the truth. Isn't that amazing? Because one of the prerequisites of knowing the truth is walking in the truth. I know people that used to think like I think now that don't think like I think anymore. I know people who used to have the same philosophy that is preached, the same truth that I preach right here, that don't believe that way anymore. You know what happened? They quit doing it. They quit walking in it. And when you quit walking in it, you'll quit knowing it. Now, begin with, you must know the truth. And once you learn the truth, you must do the truth. Or somewhere down the road, if you're not doing the truth, you won't even know the truth anymore. You look up in the Bible how many times it says that God will take that which they have. Take away that which they have. Because if you don't use what has been given to you, God will take away even that which you have, or what the Bible says, even seemeth to have. A lot of people seem to have the truth and didn't have it. You can act like it without having it. For a while, it won't last, but you can do it. And there are many people who know the truth, who do not walk in the truth, who one day will no longer know the truth. For instance, look in John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 17. It says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. How do you know? By doing. He says, if any man will do my will, then he shall know. You know why so many people don't know? Because they don't do. In order to know, you must do. How sad it is, people that at one time knew the truth. Many, many, we see it so often today. I don't want to get a day of doom here. I mean, there's plenty of people walking in the truth today. I'm not trying to say we're the only ones or something. But I am saying there are some folks who at one time did know the truth that don't know the truth. And it's always been that way. Always been that way. There's always been people walking away from the truth and leaving the truth because they no longer obeyed the truth. And good night, we've got many fundamental churches today. In our fundamental colleges, we've got more fundamental colleges and more people going to college now than any time in history. We've got more fundamentalists around today than ever have been. Bless God, we've got a lot of more neos than ever have been, too. A lot of folks leaving the truth today than ever before. And so we need to make sure that we, in order to know the truth, we keep doing the truth. You know what happens? You know why there's some people that are no longer, that one time heard the same preaching you're hearing today, and we're in the same church right here, and are not in this church anymore? Because one day they quit doing what they said they believed. They said, well, I know it's right, but I just don't have time. I know it's right, but I just don't do it. You know what will keep this preacher from error? And I believe this with all my heart. Because I'm just as susceptible to error as anybody else is, and probably more susceptible because I'm the pastor of a church. And devil would rather get me teaching error than anybody else in this church. You know the one thing I believe with all my heart that'll keep me true? Soul winning. That's it. You know the one thing the devil tries to mess up my mind on more than anything else in the world? Separation and soul winning. Those two things right there are the only things that I find in my life that the devil attacks. Right there. Separation and soul winning. You know how I'll stay true to the Word of God? Because I believe with my whole heart, that's the whole theme of this book right here, is Jesus as the Savior, and we've got to get it out. Let people know. And if we know the truth, and we don't do with the truth, pretty soon we won't know the truth anymore. And you see it in many churches. Many places that are now they're for soul winning, but they don't do it. And one day, they won't even be for it anymore. If you don't do the truth, one day you won't know the truth. Number one, know the truth. Number two, walk in the truth. It's not enough to have the knowledge of the truth, we must obey the truth. Now, the key word in this section is this, the word commandment. And there's the third key word there. Commandment. Found four times right in those three verses there, verses 4 through 6. Commandment. Look in 2 Peter chapter 2. This is interesting. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 19. Now here's the cry of the religious crowd today. You don't need rules. You just need to be led by the Spirit. Just love everybody. You don't need rules. God has given us liberty. Isn't that good? I mean, that's what a lot of people think. I mean, they preach that. Now, it's true. God has given us liberty. Look in chapter 2, verse 19 of 2 Peter. It says, while they promise them liberty. Isn't it amazing the people that promise liberty are the ones that who themselves are enslaved with their sin? They're the ones that say you can do anything and still love God, and yet they're entrapped themselves in their own sin. Says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. Those that don't keep the commandments of the Word of God, who say, well, you're saved, you can live any way you want to. You can do anything you want to do. You don't have to live by any rules. I got a whole book full of rules we better live by. People say, you don't have to do that. You're free. You obey that Bible right there and you're a legalist. It's a famous word, isn't it? Well, here, I guess there's still people that use that word. They say, you're a legalist if you obey that Bible. No, you're only a legalist if you obey the Bible beyond what they want to obey it. They obey part of the Bible, but when they quit obeying it, if you go beyond where they're obeying it, then you're a legalist. It's always legalist is always a step past where you're living. That's what a legalist is. And a legalist to us would be somebody that goes beyond what we do. That's a legalist. Now, that's what their definition of legalism is. You're free to do anything you want to. Yeah, you're free, and they're enslaved in their corruption. They have no freedom. The only freedom you have is obedience to this book right here. That's the only liberty you've got, is obedience to the Word of God. I haven't got time to go into that. I may preach on that someday and don't have time for it today, but I just want to touch on that. Those that promise liberty themselves are in corruption, enslaved to it. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. And there are many today that will preach that and teach that. Now, we do have liberty in Christ, but that liberty in Christ comes through obedience to His commandment. There are those today that would throw off the commandments and throw off the rules. Say you don't have to obey that. You don't have to. But if you want to be free, you will. If you want to have liberty from the corruption of sin, you'll obey the commandment. That does not make you a better Christian than somebody else, but it gives you liberty. Obeying these commandments right here does not give us the choice or responsibility to look down at somebody else who does not obey. I'm going to try to obey it as much as I can, but I'm not going to look down at somebody that doesn't obey it as much as I do. I'm going to keep trying to obey it more. I'm not going to be jealous of somebody that doesn't have to live by stringent rules according to the Word of God. Good night. Look at the problems they're going to have. I just soon have the regulations of the Word of God and live by the commandments of the Word of God. Live by what God has said. There's true liberty and freedom in living according to the Word of God. So to walk in the truth, we must do what God has commanded. By the way, look back in 2 John, verse 6. Verse 5 says that we love one another. Now here's a good definition of love, verse 6 here. And this is love. Now John's going to tell us what the definition of true Bible love is. This is love, that we walk after His commandments. Now something? That's love. Love is walking after His commandments. That's true Bible love. If you love somebody else, you know what you'll do? You'll obey the Bible. That's true love. Showing love to somebody else is being obedient to the Word of God. People have that all turned around, don't they? They think love is license. Love is letting everybody do and you doing whatever you want to do. That's not love. Love is obeying the Word of God. By the way, love is a commandment of God. Well, I just don't feel that way about that person. Love is not a feeling. God cannot command your feelings. Love is a choice of the will. And we can love. We may not like everybody, but you can love everybody. Like is a feeling. Love is a commandment. And we are to love. And what is true love? Love is keeping His commandments. Well, look in, now beginning with verse 7. Here's the third part of the book then. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. The Bible says that there are many deceivers in the world. Now, and then He gives us two ways now how to keep from error. How to keep these deceivers from our home and from allowing error into our home from these deceivers. Two things. Number one, He says, look to yourselves. Look to yourselves. We need to always be checking out ourselves. That's the first thing to do. Am I doing what the Word of God says? We don't need to look. If they bring in error, they say, man, it just confuses me. Well, look to yourself. Are you still in the truth of the Word of God? Well, but there's so many out here that say they've got the truth and it sounds so good. Look to yourself. Don't put your eyes on others. Look to yourself. See if you're obeying the truth of the Word of God. That's the first thing. Look to yourself. Don't be looking back. Don't be looking around. Look to yourself. That's the first thing. To keep from error, check your own self out. Am I in obedience to the Word of God? If I'm in obedience to the Word of God, it doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what everybody else says. If I'm in obedience to the Word of God. Then secondly, verse 10 says, if there come any among you or unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Second thing, receive them not. Don't even receive them into your house. If they've got error, don't even talk to them. And don't even say goodbye to them. The Bible says, don't even bid them Godspeed. Goodbye, what's that mean? God be with you, I guess. What goodbye means? God bless, you know, don't even say God be with you to them. Don't even say God bless you to them. Don't even invite them in your house. We ought not invite them into our home, those that have error. Now look in verse 9 here. Here's a good thing that will help you understand. Verse 9 says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ seeth both the Father and the Son. Now it's talking about here, those who are off on the doctrine of Christ. That's what it's talking about. Those that are off on the doctrine of Christ. You know what that teaches? If somebody today is off on the doctrine of Christ, and one time they were in a Bible-believing church someplace, and today they're off on the doctrine of Christ, the Bible says there, they were never saved. They weren't saved. Now, they might be off on some other things today, but if they're off on the doctrine of Christ, then they were never saved. Now, they might be off on the doctrine of, they might be off on soul winning and separation and still might be saved. But if they're, and by the way, that's the thing right there we're talking about now. Don't bid them Godspeed. If they're off on the doctrine of Christ, don't fool with them. Stay away from them. Now, that's not saying just because they don't have the same preferences and the same beliefs that you believe, stay away from them. It doesn't say that. I can talk with other people that don't have the same beliefs that I believe in, but I'm not going to talk with folks that are off on the doctrine of Christ. You don't need to spend your time with them. They're off on the doctrine of Christ. Don't invite them into your home. Don't bid them Godspeed. We can try to win them to Jesus, but don't discuss doctrine with them. How to get them saved. And so now that's the line drawn right there. Don't everybody that comes along, just because they might be saved and living, it's not talking about saved people here. It's talking about the unsaved here. It's talking about those that are off on the doctrine of Christ. If they one time held the doctrine of Christ and don't hold it today, then they were never saved. They were playing games. And that's one way you can tell whether a person's saved or not, even if they've gone off and gotten in error, messed up. One way you can find out is if they're off on the doctrine of Christ or not. If they're off on that, then they were never saved to begin with. Just because they're right on the doctrine of Christ doesn't mean they are saved either, because they may get away from it one day too. But that's the thing talking about there. Don't even bid them Godspeed. Don't invite them into your home. In other words, don't fellowship with the unsaved that call themselves saved who are off on the doctrine of Christ. Don't fellowship with them. Don't receive them. Receive them not. 2 John chapter 5, verse 6 says, But that which we had from the beginning. Verse 6 says, As ye have heard from the beginning, should walk in it. Now here's the key to truth right here. Truth is something that's been from the beginning. Truth never changes. God's truth endureth to all generations. Truth doesn't change because we have a new century, or a new decade, or a new country, or a new lifestyle. Truth is always the same. The truth we have today is the same truth that Abraham had, the same truth that Moses had, same truth Adam and Eve had, same truth that Peter had, same truth that John had, same truth we ought to have today. Continuing the truth from the beginning. Check out what's been taught from the beginning. Find out what the truth is. We live in such a small part of history. If we live 80 years or 90 years, that's still such a small part of history. We get the idea it's always been like this. The way we're living today, it's always been. I mean, how long have they had electricity? I mean, 90%, 98% of history didn't have electricity. You know, if we live in such a small area here, we think it's always been like this or something. We need to go by the truth that's been down since the beginning. Find out what was taught 500 years ago, according to the Word of God. 1,000 years ago and 5,000 years ago, according to the Word of God. And stay by the same truth. You know what truth has been from the beginning? Forever thy word is settled in heaven. This truth right here. Stick with the Bible. Stick with the Word of God. And the truth that's been taught down through history. That we need to do, if we're to stay away from error, that we need to continue in the truths that we've been taught, that we've learned. That gives us the theme of 2 John then, continuing in the truth. Continuing in the truth. That's the theme for the family. Continue in the truth. That's old-fashioned. Yes, it is old-fashioned. And that's what we need to do, is just stick with the old-fashioned truth. It was old-fashioned the day it came out. Still old-fashioned today. But it's just as practical for 1989 and it was the day God wrote it. Just as practical and just as up-to-date. The truth from the beginning is still for us today. Continue in that truth. Well, that's probably, in those 13 verses, there's a lot of things in there. Even in a book like that with 13 verses, can't cover it all. We can give you basically some of the key thoughts and key phrases and key words found in those 13 verses right there. And some things that will help us to understand that little book, 2 John, and what a great blessing it is to those that have families. And let's pray.